The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
And now...
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Again?
Rocking up my sleeve. Presto! No doubt about it. I gotta get another hat.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole!
You're listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. Joining me this week, Taylor.
Hi.
And JC.
Hello.
And of course, me. I've been here the whole time.
You have?
Actually, I have been on every episode of the show.
Well, I mean, you have had to, so.
Yeah,
that's I know. True. Still a fun brag.
Yeah.
It's still a fun brag. I don't know. So let's catch
You've been
up.
On every episode of my show,
That's
even
true.
The episodes I was not on.
That is true. Yes. I've done more episodes of your show than you have.
Exactly.
So anyway, hello. Hi, guys. Let's catch up really quick. I know we recorded last week, but it feels like it's been ages.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So anything fun happen for anybody this week?
The Drake and Kendrick beef is pretty fun.
Okay, I'm not following that at all, so...
It's very funny. Drake can't get a word in. Kendrick's killing him. Obama called it when he was president.
What?
Obama called it. Like, a resurfaced clip came out and someone's interviewing. He's like, who would you choose, like, between Drake and Kendrick? And he's like, it's gonna be Kendrick.
Ah!
And you know what? It is Kendrick.
Throwing down the hope and change to pick the winner years away.
Mm-hmm.
I just miss like Obama.
Miss that man. Let's see. We had Free Comic Book Day yesterday, and I was the special guest at Dr. Volt's Comic Connection.
It's true.
Nice.
You were?
Very
special.
Got to sell some, quite a few books and... Even sold a couple of my original sketches, which was weird to me.
That's awesome.
Because I had sketches from my actual artist that I pay to draw the comic, and people wanted to buy my sketches instead. I was like, okay.
That's awesome. Congrats.
Yeah. It was cool. Fun day.
I do, because I don't want to hurt your artist's feelings. It is an important point to put that his were a little more expensive.
Yeah.
Yours were great. I was watching you doodle, and I was impressed as hell. It's improved a lot since high school. So,
yes.
Which is the last time I think I saw you draw. And that was in the 1900s. So,
yes.
No, it was.
The
it was Free Comic Book
Time.
Yeah, Free Comic Book Day at the shop yesterday as we recorded this. I had a tooth extraction at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Cool.
And then ran my shop for the rest of the day. And I think, considering it all, I was relatively jovial.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think most people, unless they asked or already knew that I was in a tremendous amount of pain all day yesterday. And I would like to pat myself on the back. I just can't reach it. So... So yeah, that's it. For those of you that don't know, Free Comic Book Day is once a year, the first Saturday in May, when comic book shops all across the land bring in some discounted books and give them away for free to try and introduce new folks to comic books in general. I think it works. I think it's a half good program because there are people that, you know, that come in and do it and we see them again. And then there's the other half that come in once a year and that's the only time we see them. But, you know, it's nice to get everybody in the store. It was really nice to see some folks we haven't seen in a while yesterday. It turned out it was just a really good day. And it was full of just wonderful little kids, for the most part. And I mean, I walked the line a couple times and, you know, engaged with the children's, and they were all having a blast. And that is great because happy kids are awesome and angry kids are a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
How long of a line stretch did we get this year? Because I didn't go out and look at it.
Oh,
I certainly wasn't standing on it.
It went down to the end and turned along the parking lot. Yeah. Biggest line I've had there in 3 years. It was probably the busiest Free Comic Book Day I've had there yet.
I mean, it makes sense with all the people that came past me, but I was like, I sat there thinking about it. I'm like, I wonder how long the line is, because I really only saw the start of the line where what's his name was sitting.
Yeah, at the beginning.
Over to talk to him. But it was that. But then I knew the long line gets long, and I didn't know it would get that long.
Yep. So I did. I had my beloved Braxton yesterday. And that was great. And our buddy Kyle hung out for the day and was a huge help to everybody. Very, very comic book knowledge-y, so he was very helpful there. So I just basically let him just kind of wander around and do whatever he wanted to do. Yep. We had a big sale. We had a big giveaway. Lots of people buying lots of stuff to try and win the giveaway stuff. It was just a fun day. I had a good time. I got home. I was in a good mood. I was just tired and I hurt. Still hurt today, by the way, just so you know. I'm doing this under enormous painful pressure. You listening? Do you feel good? You feel bad? Don't feel bad. I did this to myself.
How'd you do it to yourself? Oh, because you're doing things?
Yeah. Yep. It hurts to talk. And yet, here I am. But my voice showed up today, and I'm pretty happy about that. Let's do this, gang. Let's break tradition and talk about some news.
Ooh.
I mixed up. I tried different things when I build out the shows. I kind of watch the links come in throughout the week, and I see kind of what I want to do. It starts to set a theme for each block. Sometimes there's a good theme that goes over the whole show. This week, what I'm trying to do is mix in each block a little good news and a little bad news, because, you know, why not? I'm trying to find that balance to where people go, that was it, that's what I want, and then we can just do that, you know, as opposed to guessing half the time. The problem, I believe you guys know, is that there is, in about 1,000-to-1 ratio of bad news versus good news, so sometimes the good news is a little hard to find. This week, however, President Joe Biden is planning to honor 19 Americans with the Medal of Freedom, including Vice President Al Gore. Former Vice President Al Gore, former Speaker Nancy Pelosi, former Secretary of State John Kerry, Representative Jim Clyburn, champion swimmer Katie Ledecky, and this one is cross-cultural from one show to the other, award-winning actress, Oscar award-winning actress Michelle Yeoh. The medals will be presented at the White House. I guess they were on Friday. These 19 Americans built teams, coalitions, movements, organizations, businesses that shaped America for the better, the White House said in a statement announcing the recipients. They are the pinnacle of leadership in their fields. They consistently demonstrated over their careers the power of community, hard work, and service. This is, and I think you put it pretty succinctly on the other show, the Medal of Freedom is America's highest civilian honor, presented to individuals who have made exemplary contributions to the prosperity, values, and security of the United States, world peace, and other significant societal, public, or private endeavors.
Has Al Gore never won it before?
Nope.
Or gotten it before? But he invented the internet.
That's true.
And global warming.
I don't think he invented global
warming.
He
didn't get it for either one of those.
I think he
didn't get either one of those. Yeah.
But it is funny. No, I mean, I do remember when
he invented the internet. It's called the algorithm.
Algorithm. Actually, we used to work for one of the actual inventors of the internet. So yeah.
Oh my God. No, Al Gore just pushed the laws, the requisitions that paid for it. As far as I'm concerned, if you got the money, you invented it.
Yep. But no, I was saying this is like getting a knighthood in England. You know, this is the American equivalent of getting a knighthood.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we have, you know, we didn't have one consistent queen to always make sure the knighthoods were solid. So, you know, we wound up with Rush Limbaugh getting a Medal of Honor.
Yep.
So,
so other recipients this year include journalist and television host Phil Donahue, friend of the family, civil rights activist and lawyer Clarence Jones, teacher and activist Opal Lee, a veteran astronaut Ellen Ochoa, astronomer Jane Rigby, United Farm Workers President Teresa Romero, and Judy Shepard, co-founder of the Matthew Shepard Foundation. Uncle Joe will also hand out 3 posthumous medals to New Jersey Senator Frank Lattenberg, civil rights activist Medgar Evers, and Olympic gold medalist Jim Thorpe. I think Jim Thorpe's been dead a while.
Yeah, well, I was thinking of Medgar Evers has been dead for a little while now, too. And it was like, I'm looking at that one going, you'd think that would have been an Obama medal. Yeah.
Could have been. Yeah. Could have
just been. Just would have made sense, but okay.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They have to be almost dead before they get put into it. So, you know, it's the same thing here.
Yeah, it's fair.
Al Gore. Yeah, Al Gore getting it. I'm like, now? And I'm like, wow, he should have. I would have thought he'd had it already. Same with John Kerry, but.
Yep, other shit to do. So House Democrats promise that they are not enjoying watching the complete meltdown of the GOP.
Pinky promise.
Right. Pinky promise.
Pinky promise.
Yep. Democratic staffers on Capitol Hill were recently discussing the state of the House in a group chat when one posted a meme from The Simpsons to illustrate a point. The choice, 2 knife-wielding monkeys fighting as onlookers surround them in a circle and cheer them on. The implication was that the monkeys were the House Republicans and the bystanders were the Democrats. That is fair. That is absolutely fair. You know, the only thing it is they wouldn't have knives, they would have guns, and they'd be flinging shit at each other anyway.
Yep.
You know? True. So Republicans have retained the House majority, even with a bunch of them quitting. I think their majority right now is 1. 1.
Yeah.
Yep. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is running around in circles with her hair on fire, talking about calling for another vote to get rid of Mike Johnson, currently Speaker of the House, a Republican out of, I believe, Louisiana.
He's not doing what I said. He's actually governing. We can't have that.
Nope. 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 So publicly, Democrats are keeping quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Basically, the way that the article puts it is Democrats are avoiding giving Republicans what coaches would call bulletin board material, a slight or an insult around which the GOP could rally, but they also want to project an air of seriousness, an implicit contrast with the Republicans' ineptitude. It's true. It is. When you... Okay, so there's news junkies and there's normies, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am not a normie. I eat and drink this shit all week long. And it freaks me the fuck out watching Republicans do this. The problem is because of my animosity with Republicans that I have grown over the years and I believe I've earned. I laugh. And when I laugh, I don't take certain things as seriously as I should because I'm laughing. And it feels good. And when it feels good, I don't want to talk about the stuff that makes me feel bad. So the fact that the Republicans are in this kind of disarray and are causing these kind of problems for themselves and are doing this sort of thing is, at base, terrifying. Mm-hmm. Terrifying. The whole goddamn country is at risk. And these fucking, you know, fallaciators of orange members... No matter how small or mushroom-shaped, thank you always for that, Stormy Daniels. I'll never get it out of my head. you know, for all of the things that she's done, that's...
Not only mushroom-shaped, it smells like fungus.
That's the worst one. Yep. So, yeah.
What I like about this is that the Democrats could actually use this to their advantage. Because it seems like anytime they say, oh, this... this Congress is doing nothing. We're not getting anything passed. It's like all of a sudden things get passed because they're like, oh, yeah, we'll show you. So yeah, now I think it's you can use that to your advantage. It's like, we really want to get this bill passed. All right. Start to making noise about how the Congress is getting nothing done because the Republicans are just in disarray. And all of a sudden they lockstep and they're like, we get this done.
Yeah. So Hakeem Jeffries, whom I am just, I like more and more. And I liked him a lot at the beginning, but the longer he's in charge, the more I'm like, you know what? If this was who had to take over for Pelosi, I am content. Mm-hmm. You know, because she, for all of her mockability, really knew how to run the fucking Speaker's office. Yep. And Hakeem Jeffries is doing a really bang-up job at the same time. I can't wait to see what he does when we're in the majority. Mm-hmm. But he says, we're going to continue to keep the focus on getting results for the American people and delivering real results on their behalf, he said, handing off the package in which that statement came from. Whereas on the other shoe are the staffers. A House Democratic staffer, on condition of anonymity, texted to Huffington Post, you know, occasionally we think it's funny the GOP conference can't get their shit together, but mainly we dread the entire House shutting down again. The staffer said that they and their colleagues were aware, though, of the need to not appear publicly triumphant. We all get the drill. Don't like Johnson, but we can live with him.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, because for all the creepy that Johnson is, man, he is not as easily bullied as McCarthy. And when they do try and bully him, he digs his feet in and tries and does basically the opposite of what the lunatics are trying to get him to do, which makes him appear rational.
Right.
Right.
Even though he's not, he's a bad person. But then you compare that bad person. It's like we don't use Mussolini as an insult because Hitler was running around at the exact same time. But Mussolini was a fucking monster, too. He just wasn't as good at it as Hitler. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I'm not bringing Hitler into the argument to say that Mike Johnson's Hitler. I'm not. I'm saying Mike Johnson's Mussolini. You know, I mean, that was. Oh, and the other thing with Kristi Noem's dog. I throw this out because if I don't right now, I'll forget it. The joke I heard was it's like, you know, she shot her dog. She shot a puppy. And that's bad. Mm-hmm. And she can't figure out why. But even Hitler liked dogs. It was his only redeeming quality.
Quality, yeah.
And she doesn't even have that. She has been banned on all of the Native American reservations in her state to the point that there is 20% of her state she can't go to because she's not allowed to cross onto the sovereign soil of the Native American reservations out there.
Hey, we got a lot of dogs here. You can't come in here.
Yeah, whereas basically here, I've got, I don't know, probably 700 square feet that Spencer Cox is not allowed in. I mean, I can't compete. I can't compete.
No.
So the Satanic Temple has announced plans to have its ministers in Oklahoma public schools now that they passed their stupid fucking clergy bill. They passed Senate Bill 36, which would allow chaplains in public schools. The Satanic Temple announced a plan to have their ministers inside Oklahoma public schools. And they were warned that the Satanic Temple, the local guy, went to the fucking legislature in Oklahoma and was like, yeah, if you guys pass this, you know, First Amendment says that we can do this, too. And they're all, well, you're Satanist, you can go to hell. And he's like, whatever, there is no hell. And so they passed it anyway. They passed it anyway.
Yep.
Yep. And
that's specifically why Utah didn't pass it.
Yeah, which was smart of them to a point. I don't know. If you're going to put dipshits in schools, I would much prefer they be satanic dipshits than any other because these guys actually give a shit. You know? Yeah. I don't recall from my high school days, and of course that, like I said, was in the 1900s, my school counselors having any fucking effect on me at all. Did you?
No.
Nope.
Nope.
No.
I didn't get,
not at all.
I didn't get counseling. I didn't get job or career advice, this and that and the other. The only thing The only thing that a school counselor did that I found beneficial at all is when I decided to drop out of high school to go to college, you know, he's like, don't forget you need your parents' signature on this paperwork.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that's great. And I walked out of his office and sat down at the nearest bench and forged my dad's signature on it so that I could take my GED and go to, which I got, you know, my dad's a little upset about, but at the same time, I think he recognizes my moxie. So, anyway.
I don't even think I ever met with my high school counselors. Or, yeah, never.
Yeah.
Not even for college.
Yeah, there was a lot of, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that. And I didn't like it, so I stopped going and talking to him. I'm like, I just want to know how to do something I want to do, and you guys aren't helping me any. So, yeah.
All right. And then to finish up, this one's quick, and then we're going to break. Democratic Representative Couillard has been indicted on conspiracy and bribery charges, and we here at the Left Show, at least me, I'm sure you guys are here too, would like him to fucking quit and go away.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. And while you're at it, take Bob Menendez with you. Okay? Because I have a long-ass article that talks about the fact that your conspiracy and bribery shit, and as far as I'm concerned, you can fuck right off. You can go to jail.
Yep.
Go to jail.
The Republicans like it. We don't. So get out of here, Henry.
Yep. Take it off. Say hi to Blagojevich on your way in. All right. Let's take a quick break. We get back on the other side. Odd news.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does, including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the show. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com, D-E-F-E-N media.
You are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
I think it's fun. I think it's fun when Democrats step out of line and the rest of the Democrats are like, hey, go fuck right off.
Yep.
Yeah. You know?
And then
fuck out.
One of the things that's been frustrating me is how there hasn't been a lot of loud calls for Menendez to go away. You know, Fetterman seems to be the only one that'll stand up with a reporter and talk about how Menendez just needs to fucking go away, be stripped of all his committee assignments, because some of what he's been accused of, you know, is treasonous. So get rid of Menendez. Get him off his fucking committee assignments. Let the fucker sit there and rot until his voters can fix the fucking problem, since he won't. And that's the same thing with Couillard. It's just, fuck, dude. Go away. Go find William Jefferson. You guys could talk about better ways to hide your ill-gotten money.
Exactly.
I don't know if you guys remember William Jefferson or not. He hid his bribe money wrapped in tinfoil and then stuck into lean cuisine boxes and then put them in his freezer.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the dumbest idea.
No. My guess is he got caught because they weren't glued back shut, but what do I know? I'm just guessing.
No, I don't.
So I've got... I've got some Republican-related news for you guys. Democrats, I know, weird way to start, but hear me out. Democrats are becoming increasingly worried about conservative judges that are in the Trump court cases. Democratic lawmakers are sounding the alarm over what they see as conservative justices and judges tipping the scales in favor of Trump in at least two federal cases. The two cases accuse the former president of attempting to subvert the 2020 election and obstructing justice related to his handling of classified documents. Some Democratic senators suggest conservative justices on the Supreme Court are playing politics by slow-walking special counsel Jack Smith's case related to the events of January 6, 2021, so there's no chance of it hitting the verdict before Election Day.
Right.
I absolutely believe that that is happening. They're more perplexed by District Judge Aileen Cannon, who's let Smith's case on Trump's handling of classified documents get bogged down in a complex and arcane legal arguments over the Presidential Records Act, which does not apply.
Right.
Does not apply. And so the bottom line is Democrats doubt that two of the stronger criminal cases against Trump, including the more serious charge that he sought to overturn the results of the last presidential election, will reach a verdict before November. And there's a lot to be said for Jack Smith and you know, Merrick Garland doing their fucking due diligence. But they, I don't care what anyone says. It's Trump goes into public and with microphones on and cameras pointing toward him or his Twitter or his Truth or his whatever the fuck he's doing has gone out in public and admitted to doing crime.
Yeah.
Said, I committed the crime. I crimed. I'm the best crimer. I bring the best crime. Nobody crimes like I crime. That was my Trump, by the way. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm not going to try anymore because I realize it's not something I really need in my toolbox.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, the bottom line is the Democrats are freaking the fuck out. And meanwhile, Hakeem Jeffries is like, calm down. Calm down. We got an election coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just it.
Still. We're not going to get either of these cases before the election happens, which means there's no way we can prove he committed a federal crime, which then could, you know, keep him from becoming president. But on the same, by the same token, we've got, you know, college kids now calling Joe Biden a warmonger, which is going to pull their vote.
Yep.
They're a good-sized voting block. You want to ignore them. Nope, they're there. So, yeah, this could be a problem.
Yeah, I'm not voting for Trump either. I guess you are.
Yeah,
well,
you are.
You will wind up voting for Trump because, yeah, sure, maybe you vote for fucking Kennedy or what's her name. So you throw your vote away. That just takes votes away from Biden and gives them right to Trump,
yep.
In other words, because we have... Biden will win the popular vote, but the Electoral College system will just take him out.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is that Trump lost the last election by 7 million votes.
Yeah.
But he lost the Electoral College by about 30,000.
Right.
And that's terrifying. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't it be delightful? Wouldn't it be lovely if we can get House, Senate, White House, and pushes to the popular vote. Hear me out. Right now we have battleground states. In popular vote, every state's more important because you're trying to get votes from everybody. That means that they have to spend time in dipshit places like Utah, you know, as opposed to flying over us on, you know, to sexy places like Nevada and California. You know, I mean, that's just it, is we get surrogates. We don't get, you know, think about Nebraska. I may hate Nebraska, but that doesn't mean they don't deserve representation. Maybe a little less than everybody else. I don't know. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? But, I mean, getting rid of the Electoral College fixes a racist problem that we have from way back in the 1800s and allows the will of the people to be exercised on our government. I think getting rid of the Electoral College will raise voting at least 10%.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Because I agree.
Your vote matters.
problem is that I don't see it being taken away by the current, by either party at the moment. Maybe the Democrats more so, but definitely not the Republican Party.
Well, the problem is it's got a two-thirds majority hurdle. So, yeah, would all the Democrats vote for it? Absolutely. I believe that. I know that they would. But will it matter? No, because if it weren't for the Electoral College, as so many famous Republicans have said out loud in front of cameras over the last few years, if we get rid of the Electoral College, the Republicans will never win another presidential election.
Yep.
Because they haven't won the popular vote since Reagan.
Yep.
Fucking Bush. Reagan, man.
Only W. Bush won the popular vote.
I don't count that one.
But he won it by 1%. Like 1%. And it was his reelection. He won it by 1% because there was this whole thing about you don't change the commander in chief in the middle of a war. I'm like, oh, war he fucking started.
Yeah.
But it was bad. And he did win. He did win the popular vote by 1%, which he then declared was a mandate of the people.
And the press just ate it up, as I recall.
Yep.
They drank that Kool-Aid. Yep. It's a mandate. Mm-hmm. No. It's a man space date. Because it's 1%. Yeah. Anyway, Bush. Meh. War criminal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what other war criminal used to paint? That was a little subtle.
That was good.
Yeah.
A little bit.
But anyway, the Biden campaign is taking swings at Trump over this proposed Louisiana bill to criminalize possession of abortion pills. In a statement first shared with The Hill from the Biden campaign, Louisiana native Caitlin Joshua was turned away from two emergency rooms and denied reproductive health care while experiencing a miscarriage. Quote, "This is Donald Trump's Project 2025 agenda in action, criminalizing women's reproductive health care. This should ring alarm bells for every woman across the country. MAGA Republicans want to ban and criminalize abortion medication everywhere." Mm-hmm. It is true that they do. They say that they don't. But remember when all four of those judges went before their Senate committees, you know, to get their little interviews on before they got their fucking lifetime appointments to riches and billionaires and fucking Mrs. Clarence Thomas. I mean,
that whole perjury thing.
Yeah, they're all like, you know, no, Roe versus Wade is the law of the land. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And
J.K. LOL.
Yep. Yep. And meanwhile, Democrats went, no, okay. Idiots. I mean, why they didn't filibuster, what's his name? The first one, the one that Gorsuch should have had his seat. Fuck it, I don't care. Let's move on.
He's actually, the funny thing is he's the only one I'd actually tolerate over the other three.
Of the four of them, he is the least odious.
Yeah, he is the least odious. He's actually, because he's from out here, he's actually got a good handle on Native American issues.
Yeah.
More so than anybody else would. Yep. But yeah. He still should have been filibustered. It should have been filibustered because they should not have waited for Trump to be in office. It should have been Gorsuch. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And then Gorsuch could be harmless in the Supreme Court instead of where he's at right now. Yeah.
Ruth
Bader Ginsburg should have retired.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's all.
Yeah. Kristi Noem, whom we've already talked about once, who, as we know, murdered a puppy and a goat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, the president of the United States, Joseph Ronsonel Biden.
Yeah,
he had a dog that was a little bitey.
Yeah.
So he rehoused it with people that could teach it not to be bitey. Did he shoot it in the head? I mean, there's guns everywhere in the White House. He probably could have had somebody do it for him. No. Well, he was a responsible pet owner, and he did what you're supposed to do.
It kept biting men who carry guns all the time because it kept biting Secret Service agents.
Yeah, that dog had no fear.
Yeah, no fear at all.
I think what was is that it was like the remainder of Trump's Secret Service detail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he could smell it, and that's why he was biting. He was biting the old Trump guys.
He could smell on Mark.
So, yeah. So, Christy Noem, in this book, people have got past the puppy part, and they're reading some of the other parts, says that she met a world leader.
Mm-hmm.
And the world leader says no. Christy Noem's claim in a new book is that she met Kim Jong-un.
What a brag.
Yeah. The Dakota Scout reported on Thursday, citing its own investigation, several sources, it's bullshit. A high-level Capitol Hill staffer who worked with Noem when she was a congresswoman told the Independent outlet. Noem, the Republican South Dakota governor, who's been talked up as a possible running mate for President Trump, already courted controversy with an account in the book of killing the dog Cricket. I mean, he's even got a cute name, for fuck's sake.
Exactly.
Cricket. Poor buddy. So anyway, Noem's camp has been pushing back against the assertion that she lied about chatting with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un when she served with the House of Representatives. Quote, it was brought to our attention that the upcoming book, No Going Back, has two small errors.
Small.
What the fuck is an error of I met the North Korean dictator? Mm-hmm. Oops. Oops. Was a little voice to text there. Oopsie daisy.
Oopsie.
Yeah.
Did I say Kim Jong-un? I meant Macron. No, not Macron. Who did I mean?
Who did that guy who played Kim Jong-un in that movie? The Interview? It was that guy.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
With James Franco and Seth Rogen. She met that guy.
Continuing, this has been communicated to the ghostwriter and editor. Kim Jong-un was included in a list of world leaders and shouldn't have been. The book has not been released yet, and all future editions will be corrected. The media will, of course, try and make these tiny issues huge. Your book says, and it's not going to be like some passing thing, I'll bet, either. I would love to get a look at the goddamn text that she's arguing about. But, yeah, there's no way that it was just like, oh, and as a Republican representative, she met, you know, Macron and Justin what's-his-name up in Canada. You know, and Vicente Fox and Kim Jong-un. I don't think it was going to be that quick. I think there's a chunk in that goddamn book that's going to have to come out.
In my opinion...
You're in the article.
In my opinion, people should have to not be able to do ghostwriters anymore. Mm-hmm. Write the books yourselves, you cowards.
Through my tenure on the House Armed Services Committee, said Noem in the book, I had the chance to travel to many countries to meet with world leaders. I remember when I met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. I'm sure he underestimated me, having no clue about my experience staring down little tyrants. I'd been a children's pastor, after all. Okay, that's pretty funny.
That's funny. I totally get that.
Dealing with foreign leaders takes resolve, preparation, and determination. My experience on those many foreign trips made me a better member of Congress and a stronger governor. It allowed me to hone my deal-making skills. Oh, like training a puppy?
Yeah.
Because training an animal is a deal-making skill.
Hey. What does a governor have to do going... Like, why does a governor have to meet a world leader?
Well, they don't. Well, this is back when she was in Congress.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, still then. Still.
Yeah.
Well, I remember Huntsman did some negotiations with China for us. For the Obama administration.
That's because he was the ambassador to China under Obama.
Yeah.
No, he did something while he was governor that then caused the Obama administration to offer him. Yeah. I don't remember what it was, and it probably wasn't very important, but it was a tariffs thing. But we as a state, Utah, does a lot of business with China. Yeah. And so, yeah, your governor would actually probably meet a world leader or two along the way, depending on what sort of a trade thing you have. We have sister cities in China. So
a guy I used to work with, really nice guy, but Mormon, very Mormon, and he and his wife served LDS missions to China, which took them both to Hong Kong, a little bit up into the mainland, but not as much as they could go because of all the restrictions, and then Thailand. And their main their age leader when they were on the mission was John Huntsman.
Ah.
So that's how he knows so much about, that's why he was so involved with China. Cause once he got back from he fell in love with the place and came back and just embraced it. Yeah.
Yeah. I hear good things. My grandparents, ran the China mission for 4 or 5 years in the '80s. Yeah. They were in Hong Kong the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my folks went out to visit them, and when they came back, they had a new suitcase. And inside the new suitcase was about 50 knockoff polo shirts that they gave away as gifts for the next few years.
Hell yeah.
Which was pretty funny. I mean, it was every Christmas morning you would open up a polo shirt, and you're like, uh-huh. Okay. And then this one I'm just assuming is Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
But CenturyLink left users with no service for over 2 months and then billed them all an average of $239. CenturyLink's customer, Kristen Appiel, and her husband live in Banks, a city with fewer than 2,000 residents in Oregon's Tualatin Valley, I'm going to say.
Yep.
They keep a landline for emergencies because their only internet service is satellite, and cellular service in the area is pretty shitty. Appel said they pay about $41 a month for CenturyLink phone service. CenturyLink phone service became spotty and intermittent around January when winter storms hit the area. The service was only fixed after CenturyLink worked on it for about 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
2 months. And then CenturyLink turns around and charges them money for services they did not have.
Well, actually, they charged them for $239 for phantom 411 calls made from her number during the outage.
Nuts.
So her phone is out, her landline is out, and yet there's these 411 calls coming from her landline.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
We had CenturyLink before we bought our house, and it was such garbage that we had to, like, when we got on Netflix, we had to wait till all of it was downloaded before we could start watching it because it lagged so bad. And then, when we moved to another house, we were using CenturyLink, and our internet went down for 5 days. And they're just like, sorry, we'll get someone there.
And yet,
it took five days.
I've had them for years as my provider, and when they upgraded me to fiber, they actually put fiber in out here, their own version of fiber. I've got a Google Fiber out front and then this one. And mm-hmm. I've not had any problems with CenturyLink, so knock on wood. I hope it stays that way, because, yeah.
Okay. Let's call that a block, because
mm-hmm.
I don't have any more in that block. And when we come back, I got some mixed news. I got some Republican news, some Democratic news, and a little bit all mixed together.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember ELO's Richard Tandy, Moody Blues's Mike Pinder, Terry Carter, and Bernard Hill.
I'm sad in white satin.
Michelle Yeoh received a Presidential Medal of Freedom. Does that mean we call her Lady now? In Tinseltown, is Utah losing its film festivals? The Russo brothers weigh in on superhero fatigue. Dwayne Johnson is causing trouble on the Red One set. Feige told Hugh Jackman not to come back as Wolverine.
Don't you come back.
Comics, Margot Robbie and Olivia Wilde want to do a Rob Liefeld property. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ends with issue 150. We review the Blood Brothers Mother, Space Ghost Kid Fury, and Blood Hunt. All that and Doctor Who will be progressive.
Again?
Face Front, True Believers. It's the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Do you know where a treasonous spy would buy groceries?
I don't.
Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
So I just want to take a minute before we get to the bad news and talk about the fundraiser. I'm going to give this push for a couple more weeks, you know, before I give up in disgrace at not having met my goals. But you can pop over to theleftshow.com, click on the fundraising thing. It's right there under the header, under the hero graphic. And go through, and I'm not saying give yet. I'm saying scroll down and read what's for offer at the different levels at which you might consider giving. The top of the tier there is $1,500, and I will build you a podcast. I will teach you what to get. I will do your sounders in and out. You know, I'll do your fucking commercial break shit. I will do your logo, and I will build your website, all for $1,500 if you donate it through that link. Less than that, there's a whole bunch of other options. Now, I have played, you know, the I'm here to help others card, and that worked a little bit. And that's really what this is all about, is me being able to operate in a way that not only builds the network and gives us more shows, but allows me to use the other hours of the day to help nonprofits and charities hit better advertising than they can afford normally. That's my plan. Forrest popped up. Forrest, one of the things that he and I talked about was what we'd do if we ever got a studio in which we could do video. It was a conversation we had about once a week for several years, you know, and now I'm just down to naked bribery. I'll give you shit if you donate. Okay. That's where we're at. We're just plain fucking deal making, desperation deal making. So please pop over to leftshow.com. For those of you that have already done it, you're the best. You're the best. Thank you so much. Don't forget to rate and review. Smash that subscribe button. That's where we're headed. All right. Now I got to get a little serious. Okay? A top UN official said Friday that the hard-hit northern Gaza was now in full-blown famine after more than 6 months of war between Israel and Hamas. Severe Israeli restrictions on food deliveries to the Palestinian territory. Cindy McCain, American director of the United Nations World Food Program, became the most prominent international official so far to declare the trapped civilians in the most cut-off part of Gaza had gone over the brink into famine. It's horror, McCain told Meet the Press in an interview on Sunday. There is famine, full-blown famine, in the north, and it's moving its way south. She said a ceasefire and a greatly increased flow of aid through land and sea routes was essential to confronting the growing humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza, home to 2.3 million people. 2.3 million people and a couple of thousand Hamas members, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yep.
Though, you know, a Hamas that's growing every day that they bomb or starve people there.
I mean, that's really how it works. You know, you wonder why Latin America hates America so much. It's because we fucked around and now we're finding out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really what it is. We've done bad things, and it's come back to bite us in the ass. The problem is with Israel is they're doing bad things, and when it finally does bite them in the ass, when you consider the level of anti-Semitism all over the world in general, people are going to get as crazed about this as Israel's government is about blowing up parts of Gaza.
Yeah.
This cannot end well for anyone. The only people here that we need to try and find a better ending for are the folks that actually live in Gaza and aren't part of Hamas, which is the majority of millions.
Yes.
So when the U.S., when the U.N. official, the head of, you know, food for the United Nations is like, holy shit, we really ought to be paying attention. We really ought to be paying attention. And I'm not saying that right now because of the election coming up. I'm saying that because there are people that are fucking dying because they can't have food, and that is a hell of a way to go. I didn't have lunch yesterday, and I was a whiny little bitch about it. You know, can you imagine doing that for 6 months? Mm-hmm. I can't. I'm a white American. I don't go that long without food. This is bullshit, and it needs to fucking stop.
Yep.
It absolutely needs to stop. Now, for those of you that are wondering why we're not talking about all of the things going on college campuses this week, let me sum it up like this. every protest I've ever been to, there's a small contingent that's usually over to the side that is a little more angry than everyone else. And yes, a little more targeted in that anger than everyone else. And one of the things that we're seeing on college campuses is this push for divestiture of you know, university money, you know, being invested in things like Northrop Grumman, in things, you know, like Boeing.
Privatized prison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And right, they're saying, take our money out of everything to do with the genocide that's happening in Gaza, you know, and put it somewhere better, you know, like green technologies and shit like that. That is okay. I am on board with that. I'm pretty fucking happy with that. I like that as a message. However, you also have guys that are just screaming and yelling, you know, that this is the time for them to get rid of Jews altogether. You know, they're anti-Israel, they're anti-Jewish, they're anti-Semitic, they're just bad people. You know, and there's like one of those for every 100 of the fucking protesters. And for some reason, people at these protests keep handing these little dipshits the fucking megaphones. You know, and then they're out there being all racist. And the next thing you know, boom, riot cops are in, which they shouldn't be. It's the First Amendment.
Michael Valentine was back in the news here in Utah because he went out to the University of Utah protest and opened his yap. And he's anti-Zionist, so yeah.
Yeah, and that is another thing, is understanding the difference between the Zionists and the Jewish people. You know, mm-hmm. And being Jewish does not make you a Zionist. You know, yep. Being on Netanyahu's page on dehumanizing humans, that's more that direction. Mm-hmm. You know, so really, when you hear somebody start screaming about Zionists, check what they mean by that. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes they just mean Netanyahu's got to go. And sometimes they mean they're talking about all Jewish people. You know, I personally never understood anti-Semitism. Do not get it. Do not understand why for the last several thousand years the Jewish people have been hunted, you know, mm-hmm. and murdered. I don't get it. I don't get racism at all. You know,
I never got it. And the funny thing is that, in a lot of ways, Northern Europe was Zionist in that they wanted to take Jerusalem back from the Muslims. So the whole point of Zionism is that the current level of Zionism is to eliminate, get Islam out of what it was traditional Israel, which of course is Jerusalem. And so the Zionist movement was immediately given to the Jewish people who were trying to get their land back, their country back. And they got it back after 1947. But, you know, to me, it's like everybody wants to control that city.
Yeah.
Islam believes that they have to control that city for Allah, Muhammad's prophecies to come true. The Christians believe that they should have control of that city because Jesus went there once. And they believe that. And of course, the Jews are like, well, we built this city and not on rock and roll.
Not on rock and roll.
And anybody who's anti-Zionist, it's like, well, okay, I get it. And at the same time, are you just being anti-Zionist because you're actually anti-Semitic? Yeah.
For the second time in less than 6 weeks, a Boeing whistleblower has died.
Yeah.
After a brief illness, weeks after the suicide of another Boeing whistleblower. Joshua Dean, 45, former quality auditor for Boeing supplier Spirit AeroSystems, alleged that managers failed to act on manufacturing defects on the 737 MAX. He went public with safety concerns and alleged retaliation by his employer. He died after a brief illness. Now, let me read this word for word.
Yeah.
Joshua Dean, 45 years old, of Wichita, Kansas, died Tuesday after he received multiple diagnoses that included the flu, pneumonia, and MRSA, prompting his family to say, yeah, we're going to need a fucking autopsy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a healthy individual who ate well and exercised, so it seems odd that he went so fast, says the family's attorney, Robert Turkowitz. Yeah, he'd been sick for a couple of weeks, had a hard breathing, had to be put on a ventilator, you know, and finally died. Huh. And then after
they don't burn his body beforehand.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Well, the article doesn't say anything about that yet.
I'm just saying. Hope they don't burn it beforehand.
Yeah. That one's just creepy. It's, I mean, that's Putin level shit right there.
We're getting germ warfare out of Boeing.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's weird. And then
at Boeing, whistle blows you.
There you go. Okay, let's take a big deep breath in. We've had some serious couple of articles there. And let's talk about Caitlin Clark.
Hey.
WNBA ticket sales soar as interest grows in Caitlin Clark and the Aces. Driven in part by the star power of newly drafted Indiana Fever guard Caitlin Clark, WNBA has seen a surge in popularity, driving a boost in ticket sales and prices. It's the latest sign that women's professional sports are experiencing an unprecedented boom. Woohoo! With the possibility of bringing in more business opportunities and acclaim for both players and teams.
Will the Jazz open up their women's franchise again?
Not until Frank Layden's dead.
Yep.
Yeah. Once Frank Layden dies, I think we can get the Stars back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were called, right, honey? The Utah Stars?
Stars with a
Z. Yeah, it was the Stars with a Z. Maybe two Zs. I don't remember.
How many Zs did it have at the end?
It was classy.
It had two.
Maybe
that's why they got run off, because they had a dumb name with Zs
probably.
In it.
We're all about the double Zs in this state.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how else do you spell Bob in Utah without two Zs? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. That was, I met a couple of kids yesterday at Free Comic Book Day. And it was really funny. The dude had this little service dog, mm-hmm. you know, and of course I met the dog first because I'm me. And I'm like, hi, what's your dog's name? Because that's how I start these conversations. I do not pet service dogs no matter how much I want to. They got their little vest on. They're working. I'm going to respect their working, and I'm not going to drop to the floor and start asking for kisses and belly rubs.
This dog's on the clock. Leave it be. Yeah.
So I says, oh, what's your dog's name? And he's like, it's Charles. And I was like, oh, a very formal name for a very serious puppy. And I said, may I pet Charles? And the dude's like, yeah, go nuts. So I got to pet the dog, and the guy's like, yeah, he really does. But thanks for asking. I appreciate it. And you should always ask before petting anybody's animal, whether they're wearing a fucking coat or not. But he's like, thanks for asking. I appreciate that. I'm like, hey, you know, he's working this and that and the other. I'm like, oh, who are the kids? Let me talk to the kids. And one of the kids' names was Jericho.
And I'm like,
I like that. That is a badass name. And then the littler kid, I cannot remember his name for the life of me right now, but it was also a badass name with an X in it, you know? And I'm like, I think it's adorable that you give your kids these badass names and your dog is named Charles, you know? He was a cute little puppy, too. It had a little wispy beard. Just let that one go. But anyway, Caitlin Clark, she's not the reason ticket sales are going up, because she only plays for one team. Ticket sales are up for all the teams. You know, I haven't watched a basketball game since the 1900s. And yet, a month ago, I watched two of them. And it was because it was women's sports and it was fucking exciting. And I don't give a shit what anybody says. It's better.
It is better.
You know, with soccer, I can go back and forth. It depends on the team.
It was. It was easy to make jokes back in the early days of women's NBA because, you know, it was the, you know, there's no dunking, but we play the fundamentals. And it was like we were in the era of Michael Jordan, of Scottie Pippen, of all these other guys who were dunkers. And that was what was exciting about watching NBA basketball. And we're like, okay, yeah, whatever. But that's all kind of gone away now. There's really no major, you know, guys who just play in the air.
Let me ask.
Seem to fly across the court.
Can you dunk in the WNBA now? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't before, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Probably because some dude somewhere decided it would be bad for the cervix. I don't know.
Exactly.
That can't be it, because then he'd have to know what a cervix is, and there's no way the guy that came up with that rule knows what that is. So
that's true. Nowadays we don't have as many dunkers. Basketball's become a little more like it used to be. And this year we had just the amount of attention we got for that game, the Indiana games, is the highest we've ever seen for anything with women's basketball, especially college level. And the fucking draft got national attention. Yep. I mean, yeah, it's no wonder people are like, no, I want to go see the WNBA. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all. I'm just saying, it's, if I'm going to go and see a pro soccer game in this town, you know, I'm going to see the women's team.
Oh, I've heard they're really good.
Yeah.
The Real women's team. I've heard they're, no, it's a lot more fun to go to that game.
I don't have a glitch with Real Salt Lake. I don't mind. I watch their highlights every week when they're playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they're fine.
Yeah.
They're great. I just wish that I had the opportunity to also watch, you know, more women's sports. The only women's soccer I can find online, for the most part, don't get me wrong, and if you do know where it is, please at me. I'm fine with that. But it's basically the Barclays Women's Super League.
Right.
You know, so it's not even normal shit. It's gotta be the extracurricular stuff. And that's all I want. I want that, and I want lower league games, but that's a totally different story. Let's move on. Student journalists covering protests over the Israel-Hamas war at college campuses across the country have been impeded, threatened, arrested, and assaulted. With outside media access limited, their work has illuminated the events reminiscent of college protests during the Vietnam War and divestment demonstrations against South Africa's apartheid system. The Pulitzer Prize Board, housed at Columbia University, praised the work of student journalists in a statement this week, recognized student journalists' tireless work in the face of great personal and academic risk. The Student Press Law Center, which praised the work being done, urged student journalists facing barriers in their reporting to contact them for legal help. Ireland Blowden, associate manager at the Daily Texan, told Axios that the newspaper reporters have had unique access to other students, even those with reservations about media coverage on the protests. Quoting Blowden, although we are journalists, protesters have been more than willing to speak with us. And we've been grateful for that, because not all news outlets are able to get that right now. Journalists are often unsung heroes. And student journalists, when they're done writing about what's going wrong at the quad or the cafeteria, you know, can do some pretty amazing work. I remember when I was down at College of Eastern Utah, we had a student paper, and there was kick-ass shit in there all the time. The worst thing I ever read in our student paper was an editorial written by me. You know? And,
nice.
And as I recall, it was about the dangers of religion. I wrote this at 19 years old, and therefore should have been tackled, wrestled, and had the paper taken away from me before they published that piece of shit, because I remember now being all cocky and proud of myself and then picking up the paper and reading it and going, I can't believe I wrote this bullshit. How high was I and what was I on was the question. Because at College of Eastern Utah, that was a pretty legitimate question for me.
That was a pretty, yeah.
Oh, I had fun at that school. I was only there 2 semesters, and I don't give a shit, man. It was my favorite 2 semesters. I had a blast down there. I got a gun. I lived in a trailer. I discovered LSD. I mean, life was fucking awesome down in Price. You know, granted, one, it's a drug hub for every drug that comes into Utah, every illegal drug that comes into Utah. So that was helpful at that age. And now I worry that my kids will want to go down there. You know, and the other thing was, is it was just small, so you didn't really notice the racism very much, because there wasn't anybody to be racist against.
Mm-hmm.
It was white.
Fair. But
yeah, College of Eastern Utah is where I fell into politics. It's where, you know, my love of advocacy started. You know, I realized politics, and I started paying attention to it when I was with you at Utah Valley Community College, but things really sort of gelled and pushed me in a new direction when I was down there. Now for campaign running, you know, I fucking loved it. I had a ball. I miss it still. I just don't miss, you know, shitty Democrats and not getting paid.
Yes.
All right, gang, we're at the end. We did it.
Woo!
Together. We made it happen. We're going to go and do Patreon right now. We do Patreon every week that we record. You can join us for the Patreon recordings at patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. And that's where we are every week. Every week. It's fun there. We enjoy it. So if you've been there and you like it, tell your friends and neighbors. Or, you know, if you're to rate and review somewhere, you should put down that the Patreon is also quite exceptional. Hmm? Let's do. Let's put a little bait in the water, shall we, guys, and see how the fishing goes. So with that said, thank you, Taylor. Thank you, John. Let's all go do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.